plug it in later here. Then. You think it's got enough to go through now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer, okay? Lord, it's been good already this morning. Thank you for the challenges that we have received, and grateful for what you're doing in our hearts even this very moment as we wind down this retreat, and looking forward to how you're going to use these young folk in the days ahead. And we're grateful that we can be about our Father's business, serve you, join you in your work, and grateful today to be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that today, Jesus may come, and what a day that will be when we see him. In Jesus' name, amen. That'd be pretty cool if Jesus came today, wouldn't it, huh?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Tell you what. Up here on this mountain, we wouldn't have as far to go, you know, as some folk down the valley, all right? Young folks, I'm just going to tell you right now, there's nothing sweeter than living for the Lord. Nothing better, more exciting. And I've watched him work already this morning. I knew what Denise and I were going to share with you, and then to listen to Uncle Bob share about making, you know, those right choices and living righteously, and then listen to Uncle Andy share about how to know the will of God, and that God is surprising you, and that he is always doing something around you. And I'll add to that, what he does is more than enough for us. And so all of it ties together with what Denise and I want to share with you. I don't know if you brought your Bible in here or not. If you didn't, it's okay. But Psalm 19, I just want to begin right here just real quick by just reminding you about this book right here. Okay? Psalm 19 tells us that the law of... Just listen to these descriptive words about God's Word. Okay? The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. And the judgments of the Lord are true. Think about those words in particular. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true, and righteous. That's just this book right here. That's why he says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey, and the honey on the honeycomb. Now, a while ago, Uncle Bob had a flat tire. And you know what? To get that flat tire fixed, you know what they did? They called Mark's dentist. Right? Why not? Why not? Why, if you've got a flat tire, why don't I call the dentist?
He was busy with Mark.
That's right. He was busy with Mark. That's right. That's right, yeah. You know, it just really sounds, and that's why you went, did he just say that? Yeah, right, okay. And you know what? That's the way all too many people live their lives. Do you realize that right here is the manual for life? Right here. If you want to fix, you know, for instance, I'm not so sure that this is the best place for us to be meeting right now, because you're smelling all those smells from down below. But, you know, if that meal is going to be right, they have to follow a recipe. And if your marriage is going to be right, if your life is going to be right, you go to the manual. You don't take your flat tire to the dentist. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? All right. So, that's where I want to begin today, because I want to share with you just some practical stuff that Denise and I wanted to give to you. Not that our story is anything wow, whatever, but I want to encourage you. Because, first of all, manual for life, God is always right, and he has a right plan that's right for you. And it is always, you can trust it, because it is right. And it's joyful when it's clean and pure and right. You don't have any regrets. You want to die with no regrets. You really do. You want to go to heaven with no regrets. Okay? And that's why we're come on, let's go, guys. Okay? We want to save you from some things. Okay? And I'll just tell you one more thing. You've heard me already. 33 and a half years. We love it. We're having the time of our life. We enjoyed every phase of marriage. We enjoyed it when we were the first 3 years, just the two of us. Then we enjoyed the next several years with children. And we are loving it now without children. The empty nest, okay, as they call it, all right? And Denise and I were more than glad to cut the apron strings and let them go, all right? And, fish and company begin to stink after 3 days, okay? And I like it when my girls come home, but I sure like it when they leave, okay? All right?
Mike's saying yes.
I know, I've already thought about that, brother. I have. As a matter of fact, I thought about that this morning. So, anyway, all right, baby, take it away. She's got some things she wants to share with you.
It fits so well after what Andy shared earlier, that how God surprises us. And I had told the girls yesterday that part of my story was that I grew up with the intention from the time I was just a kindergartner. I had the purpose in my life that I was going to be a nurse. I just felt sorry for people that were hurting, and I wanted to do something to help them. And so I thought, a nurse, that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a nurse. And so all through my school years, I was taking science classes that I would need when I went to nursing school. And I had checked out a nursing school near us. It was just up the road. It was perfect. It was convenient. It would have been just right. I could have lived at home and gone to nursing school. And surprise, God said, no. And what led up to that was that I had visited Bob Jones University, had never heard of the school before because I did not grow up in that circle of hearing about Bob Jones. And so just went there on a little weekend trip because there was a fellow there that I was kind of interested in. And he invited me to come for the weekend over Thanksgiving. So I went, and that was my first introduction to a Christian school. And yeah, sorry.
It was nothing.
Anyway, that was God's purpose in just meeting this family and getting to go see the university. And I got the understanding of what a Christian school was really like. Otherwise, I would have had nothing to compare this nursing school to that I was going to go visit. So I came back from that, and just a weekend or two later, there was an open house at the nursing school, and I was going to go there and have like the preliminary visit of the school and prepare for my education. And when I got there, the girls took me on a tour of the dormitory, and they showed me at the end of the hall, they said, this is the prayer room, but nobody uses it. It was a joke. I mean, they laughed about it. I went to visit a class and sat in on a lecture, and the professor used profanity in his lecture, and I was just blown away. And there were so many things that it was very clear to me that this was not what God wanted for me. And I remember getting in my car and driving home, and as I was pulling out the gates of the school, I'm just sobbing because all I could just hear the door just slamming shut on that plan that I had for several years. And so then I thought, I know of another place I could go to school. I was just there. I'll go to Bob Jones University. And so I approached my parents about it. Now, I was living in central Kentucky. The university is like 5 or 6 hours from where my parents lived. And they said, no way. No. Now, my parents are Christians. They wanted me to follow God's will, but they didn't believe it was God's will for me to go. And so I said, okay, now what do I do? And I had really claimed at this time, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And somebody asked me yesterday, how did you respond when your parents told you no? And I've always, I didn't always have a right attitude, but I always wanted to obey my parents. I really did. I just wanted to please them. And so I said, okay. So the next thing for me to do was just find a job and work. What am I going to do? I'm just going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to work. And the Lord provided a job for me working for Coca-Cola Bottling Company in their accounting department. Now, if you'd have looked at my ACT scores, you would have seen that math was not one of my strongholds. It was like, oh my goodness, I'm going into accounting? But even there, the Lord provided somebody who said, we will teach you. And I did have business classes in high school, and I had learned to use an adding machine, you know, very quickly, like a typewriter. You use it, you three fingers, and you just go across it. So I got the job. So for this next year, I'm working for Coca-Cola Bottling Company, and I'm praying. Still had in my sight, I really believe that God wanted me to go to BJ. And so sometime through the year, and I don't even know how long into it was at least 9 months, my mother came to me and she said, are you still wanting to go to BJ? And I said, yes. And she said, you have our blessing. And so I packed my bags and off I went. But now what am I going to study? Because I really, at that time, didn't feel like nursing was it. Some things had happened. I found out that I really didn't have the stomach for nursing. I only had the heart for it. And so it was just obvious that God didn't want me to do that. So I thought, well, I've been doing this accounting thing. I'll go into some kind of business. And Bob Jones offered, I don't know if they still do or not, a one-year business degree. So I thought, I'll start out there and we'll just see where this leads. So I went in as a one-year business student, going in with accounting as the strong part of that degree. And while I was there, I was just praying, Lord, what after this? What do you want me to do when this year finishes? But I was just, I wasn't worried about it, but every, you know, week or so, I'm just saying, Lord, you show me what you want for the next step. And I was totally willing and ready to either make it a four-year business degree, or I also had a love for teaching. I had taught in our church, I had taught kindergarten in our Sunday school classes, and I loved that. But there again, as I prayed about it, the Lord did not open a door or give me peace about that. And so I just continued to pray. Well, late in the spring, a friend of mine was going to be going to work in a Christian school in Sumter, South Carolina, a couple hours from Greenville. And she came to me and she said, I know the pastor is looking for a secretary for their school to work like part-time. Would you be interested in my giving him your name? And I said, at this point, I don't have any direction, so absolutely. My parents encouraged me to go ahead and do that. So this Pastor Cunningham came to Bob Jones University and interviewed me for this position at his Christian school. And as we were talking, he said, you know, we really need a kindergarten teacher for our Christian school. Would you be willing to teach kindergarten at the Christian school? And I said, you know that I've only been here for a year and I don't have a teaching degree. He said, right. But he said, you do not have to be certified in the Christian school. And we have a teacher that has been teaching for a lot of years. She teaches the advanced kindergarten. She will train you. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I said, I've always wanted to be a teacher, but the Lord didn't lead me that way. Yes, I would love to do that. So off I went to Sumter, South Carolina. In the mornings, this dear lady, she was in her 60s. She was kind of like a drill sergeant teacher. She had those little children lined up. They marched in. They said their phonetics. They did the Pledge of Allegiance. They knew all the presidents of the United States. They knew all the states in the United States. It was amazing. And I was also her student, and she terrified me. But she loved the Lord, and she loved those kids. And she passed that on to me. And the first year I taught, I had 33 children in a room about this size right here. No aides, no helpers. It was me and those poor little children. But it was wonderful. So I taught in the morning, and in the afternoon, I would go and spend my afternoons in the office at the church. And, you know, for a long time, people would ask me, oh, so where did you graduate from college? And I was embarrassed. I was ashamed of the fact that I had gone to school for 1 year. But I can tell you today that that does not embarrass me. It does not shame me. Because God was my teacher. He put people along my path all these years that have come along to instruct me and teach me. So, no, I do not have a college degree behind my name. but the Lord has just brought people in who have just taken me underneath their wing to teach me what I needed to know. And it was while I was there, while I was having the interview, rather, for this job, that Pastor Cunningham's son came upstairs in the interview office and he introduced us. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And you know, I was dating somebody at the time. And so when I went back to Sumter to teach, this fellow was at Bob Jones as well. We wrote, you know, go visit the school, that kind of thing. It was okay. Are you going to tell about Christmas break and all that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I take it there?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got another little part of it.
Okay. So. All right. So
enter Dale Cunningham.
So we'll roll back a little bit. I had my first crush on a girl when I was in kindergarten. I'm serious. Okay. I remember in grade school, Beth Stepaski, and I wrote her a note in I think third or fourth grade. Will you go with me? And, you know, you would wrap it up in a little paper and the way we'd send them around and all that, you know. And then I had, you know, crushes on girls all the way through junior high school and then got into high school and the same thing. I won't tell you all those stories, whatever. I told you one of them, I think, about the Mustang and the girl that I thought, boy, that was, you know. So, because it just was normal, okay? Guy meets girl, and that's just what you do, all right? My mom and dad it was just like, son, do what was right. Don't get messed up. You know, you can date and all that kind of stuff. And so that was the way they just handled it, right or wrong. That's the way they did it, and thank the Lord. And so I go off to college, to Bob Jones University, and my dad helped me decide to go to college. He said, son, you go to BJ, I'll pay your way. You go anywhere else, you're on your own. Guess where I went? Bob Jones University, okay? But my dad had this belief that that it was a character training that you'd get at school there, and if I go at least one semester, it'd be good for me. I did not go to Bob Jones University to get a degree. I went to Bob Jones University to get a wife, okay? And when I heard that on campus there were three girls to every one guy, wow, okay? And so much so that I had five different dates with five different girls in the same week, okay? And remember I told you about Thursday, I forgot who the girl was, okay? And I show up at the snack shop and I see her, like, oh, that was her, okay? Well, I got introduced in my freshman year, first semester, to a girl from Canada. And I started dating her. And so kept on dating her through the freshman year. Eventually, she and I were engaged to be married. Now, in my freshman year, to show you how God does always what is right, He knows how to place people and so on. Now, I shared all this in the beginning to tell you what my mindset was coming into Bob Jones University. If you would have been there years ago, when lunch ended, you had these thousands of students coming out of the dining hall. And I'm down below, there's two or three steps up to this level where you go into the doors. And I'm walking along in front of that, on that lower level, and in this sea of people, for the first time, I am made to take note of a girl that stood 4'9" tall. And the first time I ever saw her, this was the thought that was in my mind. There goes a girl with character. It was the way she walked. It was the way she handled herself. And the smile on her face. Now remember, I'm already dating this other girl and I'm thick with her. Okay? I was sick too, but I was thick too. Okay? Alright? Alright? And I was with her. But I just saw her. And it just, that blonde hair, the way she had it fixed, you know, and the way she walked. And I went, wow, There's a Cougar's a girl with character. I'd see her on campus every once in a while, but I never thought any more about it because I'm so enthralled with this other girl. Then, as you heard a while ago, it just happened. Note the quotation mark. Just happened. Because I want to encourage you about something. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? You know, not just, oh, I believe God needs you. But I'll say it this way. It just happened that I went up the steps to the dating parlor up there where my dad was interviewing Denise at the time. I didn't go up there to see her. I just went up there to say something to my dad. And who was he interviewing? Okay, that was on purpose. God, the righteous one, is constantly doing what is right. Okay? But she's dating someone else, and I'm dating this other girl. So we went on through freshman year, sophomore year, and she, for me, she leaves after that first year, goes to Sumter, South Carolina. Well, when I would come home for Christmas break or for the summer, school was always, the elementary school was, and the high school down there was always, you know, she was usually there on the front end or back end of those breaks, okay? And I would see her, but there was other single girls working there. And some single guys as well. And we just had a big, you know, we knew each other and we would have some fun, whatever. So, this girl that I'm dating from Canada, I knew that we were not living righteously. We were not doing what was right. And so, Christmas of my junior year, before I left to go back home to Sumter, South Carolina, I met with this girl and I said, we are not living right. We must separate. And so, she goes back to Canada. I go to South Carolina. And the engagement's broken off. So, Denise is still in Sumter, finishing up, got a few more days, a couple more days. Yeah, that's right. And so she goes home to Kentucky. Then she comes back in time for school. I've got a couple more days before I have to go to BJ. And so we chatted and just chatting. I wasn't pursuing her, just being friends. Okay? And I said to her, she said something. She said, I broke up with a fella that I've been dating. She said, I broke up with him last night. I said, that's interesting. I said, I broke up with Judy. And I said, really? How about that? I said, why don't we do something? Now, let's time out right here. Up to this point, I dated pursuing what I wanted. I had what, I even had a piece of paper with 40 things on it, almost, that I wanted in a girl. Okay? All right? And are you ready for this? I'll go ahead and tell you this at this point. One of them was she had to be dark-headed, and she had to be tall.
You can laugh.
Okay? But at this point, I had gotten to the place of I was sick and tired of the dating scene. Just sick and tired of it. Because I was doing it my way. That's all. So I said to her, when she conveyed to me that, and that she had broken up with Scott, and I conveyed to her that I'd broken up with Judy, I just looked at her and I said, you know what? Why don't we just go out tonight as friends? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean this. I did not have this mindset that, hey, there she is. I'll try her. No, let's go on a date. That's what guys do. You know what? For the first time in my life, I took my wife, or well, now my wife, but I took a girl on a date, so to speak, but we were just friends. I sat, and I had a car for some of you may not even understand what I'm talking about here, but we had a bench seat. In other words, there was not bucket seats. There was a console in the middle, straight across. And you know, when I was growing up, man, if you went on a date, the girl always sat right beside you. Yeah, okay, all right. Now, that was not her, though, okay, because I'm going to tell you something about her after a bit, okay? So we went on this, we went to Columbia, South Carolina, we went to out to eat, went to the mall, and we went bowling. It's the greatest time I had ever had with a girl. Because I'm going to tell you why. I had heard some teaching about a righteous God who makes righteous choices for us, and that you can trust Him with your life. And that God has a right man for every right woman. Now, and so I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to just go with her and just trust the Lord. I'm going to just enjoy being me instead of all bound up, worrying I was going to do something to make the girl laugh at me, because I am a total klutz at everything I do anyway. And this was me. And I took her out, treated her like a lady, opened the door for her, did all those kind of things. We had a wonderful time together that night. Because I believed in a righteous God who would do everything right for me if I just give Him half a chance. And you know what? She too had heard the same teaching. And she too had gotten tired of the dating scene. And it was so cool that we just enjoyed being friends. That was all, that Thursday night. So Friday afternoon, she's taking her children out, brings them back, and I'm sitting on the corner of her desk. And she comes back in the room and I said, "Denise, that was so much fun last night. Let's do it again tonight." I can honestly tell you, I was not in that mode like before of, okay, here's my setup chance, you know. It was fun. So we went out to eat, went to a basketball game, came back, and it was great. We just had fun. Because I have a relaxed mental attitude, resting in the doctrines of the Word of God, the faith of God's Word, that my God will supply my every need. Okay? Saturday. Okay? Now this is beginning to be fun. I mean, really fun. So Saturday, I thought, okay, I got to get her a card, do something, stop by the house. Man, I'd just like to spend the day with her before I go back to campus on Sunday. So I went over the hill to the drugstore, got a card, wrote a note in, just a nice little thank you, and had a great time. This was far out. I want you to know. And so I thought, now how am I going to give this to her without it looking like I'm being forward? And I'm serious when I tell you this. I came back over the bridge and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to believe what you have in your word. Delight thyself in the Lord and give Him the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your understanding. If she's the right one, fine. If she's not, then I know you've got the right one out there. Why am I so bent out of shape of whether it's going to work or not? Just do right. So I went over, knocked on her door. I was going to just give her the card, and I was going to go on my way. Knocked on the door. She opens the door. She looks at me, and these were her words. "You're just the man that I've been looking for."
My vacuum cleaner had broken.
And all of a sudden, a shirt, and I went, "Vacuum cleaner, salesman, Superman," you know, whatever. And all it was the rubber belt on it had broken. That was it, okay? But it took me 8 days to fix that vacuum cleaner. And then I noticed that the doors on her cabinet were kind of loose a little bit. So I had to go get a screwdriver and tighten, just being a blessing, you know, to her, you know? Huh? Yeah, and by the way, there was a single lady that also was living with her in the same trailer who taught in our school as well, so Debbie was there too, and so on. And we just enjoyed the day together, and I went off to BJ, and so we just started writing letters back and forth and enjoying one another. Okay? yes, the embers started, the flame started, and began to realize, you know what? I'm dating somebody unlike any girl I've ever dated before. Well, I get back to college, and guess who I see? Judy, the girl I had been engaged to. Okay? All right? So about January, February, March, I think it was about March, I wrote my wife a spiritual letter. Dear Denise, I believe it's the will of God that we stop this dating, whatever I called it. And, you know, I just, and so on and so on. I mean, it was stupid. Okay. And I started seeing Judy again. Broke her heart because Denise was, and I will tell you this, in this time of those 3 months of us being together, she was not going, oh, I found him. Because that's not her character. But the first night we went out, that first Thursday night, she came home, unbeknownst to me, obviously, and wrote in her diary, I believe I've met the man I'm going to marry. But she has enough character that on the inside, she's going, wow, this would be nice. But she did not let herself just go, oh, all over me. You say all you want right there.
And really the reason at this point why I didn't fall apart was because of the teaching that we had had about right man, right woman. And I thought, if this is who God has for me, he's going to work it out. And if he isn't my right man, God will bring somebody into my life if he wants me to be married. And I had a good cry, and then I was over it. And I'm like, okay, Lord, it's yours. So.
And so she just kept praying, trusting the Lord. Well, I get back with Judy, and I will just announce to you, and if you like opera, don't be offended by this, but I don't know whoever created it. I wish they hadn't have. It's despicable, okay? All right? Okay. I mean, why in the world? Anyway, I don't want to go there. But, okay? To go to Bob Jones University. What's that?
Surely you like music, though.
Oh, I love music, but opera isn't music, okay? So, you know, you go to Bob Jones because that's you're going to learn some culture, okay? All right? If I get my culture, I'll get out of cottage cheese, you know? But anyway, you'll get that later maybe, but anyhow. All right. So, but guess what God did? God always has your best interest at heart. Always. And Judy and I went to Artist Series, to an opera. Sat in the balcony, and God wore me out, convicted me. I was miserable. You know what the name of the opera was? Samson and Delilah. Yeah. And I sat there, and I will tell you this, the conviction of the Holy Spirit was powerful. You know why? Because I wasn't doing right. I wasn't making right choices. I was doing what I wanted. And you want to destroy your life, you do what you want. You go your own way. Now, you can make plans. But God, because He is who He is, and if Christ is the Lord of your life, He can change those plans anytime. The surprises, the whatever, because His way is perfect. And so, we came out of there. I'm going to tell you, I cannot express to you the heaviness that I felt as I came out of Rhoda Haver Auditorium. And I said to Judy, Judy, you and I have got to go. We got to talk. We got to chat. And we went to the dating parlor. And I said, Judy, we are living in sin. we're out of the will of God. I found out later on that she'd been going home in the summers and having affairs, I'll say it that way for the sake of being generic here, with another guy. There's just so much wrong about this relationship because it was what I wanted. And I said to her, I tried to be a gentleman about it. I said, I'm sorry, this is hurting you. This is, you know, you don't like this, but this is the right thing to do. And I must go. And I'm just going to tell you right now, on this less spiritual sounding side, I then crawled back to Denise. Because I realized the godly character that I'd seen in her. And I want you to know that she was not only praying, but there was a whole bunch of other people praying for us. And take it from there how we got back together. Share that.
He came home for a weekend of cuts.
Oh, I forgot about something.
Go ahead.
Time out. I've got to tell you this. I thought of this a while ago. Okay, you need to know this. I go back to BJ and I get connected with Judy again. Okay, are you with me? This is before Samson and Delilah. Are you with me? Okay. So I come back home for a weekend, and I just thought I'd go over to the trailer and see Denise for a minute. Just, you know, hey, you know, being Don Juan, you know, the Casanova, you know, whatever. And I went over to the trailer, knocked on the door, and she invited me in, and she said, "I have something for you," and she brings out this shoebox with a few items that I had given her, just fun little things, you know, just the things, little trinkets you do, you know, and whatever. And,
pictures.
Yeah, pictures and that kind of thing. And I had the audacity to look at her and say, because she was going to give them back to me, because for all intents and purposes, we've broken up, right? She gives them back to me. And I had the audacity to look at her and say, Are you ready for this? This is girls, y'all gonna love this. I gave it to, and she handed it to me, and I said, "Oh no, you keep this, because there will always be a place in my heart for you." And some of you are going, "You didn't say that, did you?" Okay, all right, I did. But you know what she said? She hands the box and pushes it to me, and she goes, say it.
"With these things, there was a commitment. And if there's no commitment, then it's yours."
I ain't never had a girl stand me up before. But you know what? I never forgot that. You remember what I told you when I first saw her that first time and I said she was a girl of character? I've watched it play out over and over and over again. And it did that day. Because the truth is, in her heart, she really didn't want to give me that stuff back. But it was the right thing to do. She took the next right step. Okay? As hard as it was. Because I want you to know something, young folks. In the choices that you make, you always have a choice. And many times, it's the harder right or the easier wrong. But God will give you grace to make that harder right decision. And I want to encourage you that. So, anyway. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's just blind because it's
okay.
Weekend together.
So, anyway. So, we happened to have a weekend together. And then she came to Spartanburg, South Carolina, where I was working at a church on the weekend. And we talked. And I told her, "You know what? I just believe that you're the right one for me." Because God had just worked me over and had really rid me of myself in this decision. Okay? So, let me just share a couple other things with you real quick. So then, we just started. She was, and it was great because I'm on campus and she is back in South Carolina, by Sumter, South Carolina, and we'd see each other sometimes on the weekends. Then that next summer, I think you stayed in South Carolina, worked with 5-day clubs and things like that, and we were dating and so on and so forth. And I could tell you some other things that, I won't for sake of time, where she demonstrated that godly character in a girl. And the relationship we enjoyed together, it was so much fun. And on Christmas Eve, 1980, in front of the fireplace at midnight, in a two-story house in Georgetown, Kentucky, everybody had already gone to bed. We'd opened up our Christmas presents. And I knelt down at in front of the fireplace with her and opened up a ring and asked her to marry me. And and I want you to know, guys, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? I realize you're a few years down the road from all this, but these girls need husbands. Not that you're going to marry them. I'm just saying. Okay, but I'm just making a point here. Girls love a romantic husband. Don't be a stick in the mud. Okay? All right? I mean, and I could talk to you much about it, because no girl wants a erotic evening. That is a erotic evening, girls, is an evening without a man. Romantic, okay? And a lot, think about it.
Romantic okay. Evening without the man.
Without the man, okay? So I could talk about it. So let me share with you. If you got your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2 with me real quick. If you got your Bible, if you don't, it's okay. How much time we got? Are we ready to get downstairs yet?
It's 1:35.
Okay.
¿De qué comandamos? Thank you,
Jeff.
A lo de romántico.
Yeah, really. I forgot about that. I don't even.
It worked.
Okay. I want to ask you something. Who created marriage? So he creates it in the whole context that everything else he created, and he said in all of his creation that it was
good.
Don't be afraid of marriage. It's good. God created it. And we find in Genesis chapter 2, I want you to see just four things here. First of all, in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him one suitable for him. Marriage is God's design. That's the first point. Marriage is God's design, and God has a designed person for you. Now, remember what I told you a while ago about I had my list of 40 things? Okay? And many of those characteristics are in Denise. But I bring out the point about the dark hair and tall and whatever. Because I personally believe, catch what I said, I personally believe that Eve was the complete opposite of Adam. I believe that principle, opposites attract, it's biblical. Because if Denise was everything I am as far as our personalities, likes, dislikes, whatever, one of us isn't necessary. So, God said, Adam, I've made you and you're good, but it's not good for you to be alone. You need a suitable helper. You need a companion. In essence, where you're weak, your wife will be strong and vice versa. You complement one another. For instance, I'll just give you an idea. I live, my life is I love spontaneity. I mean, in a moment's time, I can shift gears and go another direction. Okay? My wife, she wants to know what's going to happen 3 years before. No, not that long, but okay. I mean, when she is a planner, she prepares, she wants to be, and by the way, in her defense, and she makes adjustments when necessary, okay? Recently, she fixed a big meal expecting a lot of people to come. Didn't faze her a bit. It just went with the flow. But she's a planner, an organizer. I'm not. You know who I've learned organization from? My wife. And in our marriage, God so designed and brought her into my life to help me to accomplish things that God wanted in our lives, my life. But you know what? There are things in my world and the things that I do that she's more than glad and she's learned from as well. And we work together. That's God's design. And so, therefore, you need to be praying right now. See, you need to be walking right now what's right and trusting God. He already knows who He wants you to marry. He knew it in eternity past. And you can trust Him for that. That's why girls, and I realize it's normal, okay? Girls especially, like it's like my wife asked me yesterday. She said, "Hun, in your split sessions," she said, "we talked about relationships and things like that." She said, "I really have a hunch that the guys didn't talk about relationships. It was probably more about theological things." I said, "Spot on." Okay? So don't be offended, girls, okay? But you know what? You don't, both of you, guys and girls, you don't have to live your life bound up going, "Oh, who am I going to marry? Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, you know," and you come to a retreat like this, and guys see girls and go, "It's hunting season." Yeah? All right? And guys, in the right way, it's okay. God made you that way. I wouldn't start having crushes on girls at the age of 5 if I look, you know, looking back at it now. Okay. But nevertheless, the thing is, you can trust God for your life. Enjoy these years now. Hey, keep yourself pure. Let me tell you something. Let me give you an illustration. Okay? How many of you like, may not all of you, but you work with me, okay, whether you like this or not. How many of you really like a good, thick, juicy hamburger? Huh? All right? Good. All right? So tell me, what do you like on your hamburger? What do you like, Daniel? What we got on here?
Everything except mushrooms, pretty much.
So we got, that doesn't help me. All right, so I want to know, what do you got? Tell me what we got on our hamburger.
Lettuce.
What else?
Tomato.
Oh, got tomato. We got
onions.
Got onions. Got
cheese.
Bacon. Bacon. Got cheese.
Fries.
We're getting fries on there. All right, man. Okay. Okay.
Fried egg.
Huh? A fried egg.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Okay, I got you. All right. So, hey, have we got us? I mean, what else you want on there?
Another patty.
Huh?
Mushrooms.
Okay. I tell you what, let's even put a couple hot dogs on there.
All right.
Okay. Now we got us a bacon burger dog. Okay, right there. Okay. Right. So I bring it up from the kitchen, and you can smell it. Okay, you got it? You smelling it? Yeah, okay, all right. And I unwrap it, okay? And you haven't eaten like right now, and you're going, "Oh." And so I say, "Joshua," and I hand him the hamburger. "Check it out." So Joshua looks at it, and he checks it, takes the top off, puts it back. It looks pretty good. Then he hands it to Sarah, and Sarah takes it. She opens it up and looks at it, you know. And then she hands it to Miriam, and Miriam, she looks at it and takes the top off, puts it back on, and put your finger in there and make sure what's in there, and then hands it to Uncle Andy. He does the same thing. And we do this all the way around to everybody. Every one of you have had your hands on that hamburger. Yeah, I see some of your faces.
It's still a good hamburger.
Okay?
Oh, gross.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Jake touched.
I know some of you guys would go ahead and eat it, okay? Because you're a boy. Okay. But work with me. Work with me a minute. Even with some of you who've got colds and you got germs all over that burger. Okay. Let me ask you something. What guy wants a girl that another guy or many guys have had his hands all over and reduce it? And what girl wants a guy the same way. It would be like me bringing that good hamburger to you and giving it to you on a trash can lid. You can trust God for your mate. Because I want you to notice, second of all here, real quick. Number two, look in verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. God is the one who gave away the first bride. And God is the one who can provide for you your mate. And that girl that you want to put your hands all over, probably at this stage in your life, I mean, there's many other reasons why it's right and wrong and all that. But that girl is going to be somebody else's wife. Keep your stinking hands off of her. You don't own her. You know why I can hold hands with my wife and why I can put my arm around her and kiss her, whatever? Because she's given to me by God. It's wholesome. It's right. It's clean. It's pure. It's not dirty. And I'm the steward of this gal. She's mine. We both belong to God. And it's my right now to look after her. And we're having a time. Because it's in the bonds of what's right. And there's no regrets. The third thing I want you to see is notice in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It is God. And I want you to notice this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. What does God do? He speaks His design into existence. He presents the first bride. And now He says, here's my plan. Verse 24. A man leaves father and mother. I have prepared my girls through all of their years to leave home. I didn't want them living with me. I didn't marry them. I married her. And that's why I'd send my girls off to camp. I'd let them go stay with their grandparents, do other things, put them in the right situations, whatever. Because, I mean, they can still come back home. I'm glad for them to come back home. But I don't want to come home living with me. And I cannot, if I'm still cleaving to them, and I realize this is more of a chat with parents than I would have, but I want to just give you some foundation. If I cleave to my girls and, oh, don't leave Daddy, I don't want you to leave, stay with me, then they can't follow God's will, find the mate that God has for them, and obey verse 24 if I'm still cleaving to them. I can let them go. And so, God speaks the design into existence. God is the initiator in your salvation. God's the initiator in your marriage. And by the way, can I tell you something? Based upon Ephesians chapter 5, your marriage is to be a display to the whole world of the gospel. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ so loved the church and gave Himself for it. And your marriage should be... That's why you wait. It's one of the reasons why you wait and trust the Lord to bring the right man, right woman into your life, because your marriage is a gospel testimony of Jesus Christ. It's not something to be joked about. It's not something to be laughed about. It's not, and I hope you've never heard this, but man, you get out there in the world and the world makes jokes about marriage. They laugh about marriage and they'll say, well, you just wait till the honeymoon's over. Well, you know what? My wife and I have had issues in our marriage. It hasn't always been easy street. Because to me, it's a miracle that any marriage lasts in the first place. Because, I mean, here's a guy who comes in, he's a slob, he lays all of his stuff over in the floor and leaves them hanging, and he squeezes the toothpaste on this end, and he rolls the TP from this end, and he hangs his shirt on the bedpost, and all this kind of stuff, and he's got bad breath, and here he marries this girl, and she squeezes the toothpaste in the middle, she's dressed sharp, she picks up everything, and she rolls the TP from the top, and I mean, it's just all these different changes, okay? And so you get married in 20 minutes, you walk down the aisle, and they lived happily ever after. Can't you just hear the horse's hooves now? You know, in the white chair, you know. And many times on the honeymoon, some of the first conflicts. Because we have an old sin nature. But I want you to know something. When you understand that you are in the will of God, you're doing what is right, and you're trusting your God, and He brings that right one along, you can trust God to even help you work through the conflicts. Because marriage is good in the sight of God. He created it, and He created it for you to enjoy it. And I don't want you to mess up. Can I just tell you this with a heart of love? Not because we are doing it right. Not because we're perfect. But I want you to have what God intended for you to have. And I will say this from a fleshly side. I want you to have what we enjoy. I want you to have what Andy and Mimi enjoy. I've lived now for more than 3 days. Yeah, starting to smell, that's right. With Mike and Madeline Dodgins. You know what I want to say about that relationship? Those two people love each other. They adore each other. And I've had more fun being in their home, just watching them. Because, how many years have you been married, Mike?
Yes. 30, 35 years.
How many? 34. Okay, 34 years. All right. Sorry to put you on the spot, brother. 34 years. Can I just tell you something? They're still acting like newlyweds. They really are. And when you wait on the Lord, it's always right. Because if it's right today, it's still right 10 years from now. No matter what your conflicts may be. And there's a word that you never use in your home. It's the word divorce. Ever. Now, going over into marriage some, I understand. But I want to just say. So the fourth thing, and finish about this right man, right woman. God, verse 24 also. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God performed the first marriage. Marriage, relationships, whatever. That's why God saves you, to bring you back into relationship with Him. And then provide this relationship that is so good. Now I realize, sometimes, a woman doesn't find a man. For whatever reason. And I don't have time to get into that. Man doesn't find a girl for whatever reason. I won't get into that. I will just tell you this. Bottom line. In all of life, God is more than enough. Always. Always. And you'll spend your life, many times, spending more of your thoughts on what you don't have than rejoicing in all that you do have. You have God. Give your thought that you wanted to share. Okay. Because we need to wrap up
just
here.
Just the ending of what God did in my life. I never knew that I was going to marry a pastor. And again, did I go to school and get prepared for ministry? No. But the thing about nursing, and I think about Psalm 37, commit your way into the Lord, trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. I've been helping people that are sin sick, people that are hurting. So have I gotten to do nursing? Yeah, in God's way, in His timing. And you've heard my husband share about the death of our second little girl. God used that, I'm convinced, to teach me how to help people that were grieving. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had a clue what to do. So God has fulfilled everything in His perfect way.
And so, we finish up by sharing with you 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as ye walk. And brethren, I write a new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk. If you're abiding in Christ, you'll know how to walk. And when you fill your mind, that your hard drive, with the Word of God, then you will think and what, because what you are what you think, right? And if you take in the Word, then you're going to think and act biblically. And you can wait on the Lord. And He will guide you. You know what? There is nothing wrong with, even in this setting, for you guys and girls to sit together. There's nothing wrong with you to play ping pong together. There's nothing wrong with you could even pray together in this protected setting. It's normal. It's not, oh, Ralph must like Sue. But that's what happens. But you know what? It's normal. It's okay. But may I remind you, you live with your eyes on Christ, with your mind filled with the Word of God, taking the next right step and just waiting for God to surprise you who that person's going to be and save yourself for them. Because I believe that God has a right man for every right woman because He's a righteous God. And He has a right path for you to follow. And as for God, His way is perfect. And when you do that, you're not bound up in the attraction side of things. You're bound up in the satisfied, content side of things. That God has your best interest at heart. And you can trust Him. Okay? So, if you've got questions, whatever, you can talk to us later. We're the guru or whatever. But I just want to tell you, man, it's worth waiting for.